You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Coco Collegian. Coco, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing very good. So Coco is in the Collective Genius. Actually, him and his wife are in together, him and Gina. They are in Southern California. They're actually just outside of LA in the San Fernando Valley. And they've been active real estate investors for years. They actually run a company called PriceLift, which is a really cool business model that we're going to get into in a little bit. And then Gina actually has her own brokerage, the Gina Michelle Project. They work with a bunch of investors down there as well. But Coco, before you guys got into real estate and you teamed up, what were you doing? How did you even get into real estate?
It's actually an interesting story because I was originally a chiropractor.
Really?
So
I didn't know
you
that.
Probably don't know that.
I
yeah.
did not know that about you. Interesting.
So I was a chiropractor and practiced for 8 years before I got into this business. I was a chiro pretty young, and 8 years into it, I ended up discovering real estate haphazardly, to be honest with you, through my parents. The Vegas boom was just beginning to start, and you know, all these companies were just building homes one after the other. And we essentially picked up a couple spec homes out there. And next thing you know, we're picking up a couple spec homes in Cape Coral and so on. And next thing you know, we got all these specs that are going up, and we didn't know anything about anything, to be honest with you. We're just riding the wave like everybody else. But we got lucky and picked like the number one and number two appreciating markets in the country, you know, from Cape Coral to Las Vegas.
Sure.
49% they appreciated in 1 year. But of course, they came down pretty quick too and pretty hard afterwards. So
right. The question is, did you get out in time?
You know, some yes, some no, you okay. know. So definitely got hurt with that, but lessons to be learned. You know, don't base your investing on, don't be speculative in your investments, you know.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's when we started. And to be honest with you, that's when actually Gina and I met, and we've been together since 2004. And that's when our investing started actually together. So we've gone through, you know, the turmoil, the ups and downs from then to now, like, you know, the boom cycle, of course, from 2004, 2005, 2006. And we were writing mortgages back then and originating loans. So
we've
got that background.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we had a lending firm here in Studio City and had a pretty decent shop and originated a lot of loans. And of course, all that came crashing down and essentially in the beginning of 2007. So that came to a halt. And, you know, we transitioned to a lot of short sales, and we were big in the loan modification space, you know, with attorney backed modifications.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially had our, feet in the ground where a lot of the short sales were coming around at that point in 2007 and 2008 is when they started. So we were really doing short sales since 2008, negotiating them, you know, settling them and so on and so forth, picking them up. And that's when our rehab business also started. But with that said, we've essentially been building homes and doing major renovations and probably high-end flips for the last 5 years, I think.
Okay.
Like that, yeah. So it's been an interesting venture, you know. The brokerage has done great. You know, Gina's a one-woman operation over there. You know, she's moved $20 million in real estate just last year by herself.
That's insane. I mean, part of that is because she's a rock star. Part of that too is just because Southern California, I guess, real estate is so dang expensive. $20 million is like 20 houses, probably. Right?
It is. You're absolutely right. You know,
that's
so
still crazy. But she was what, top 16 or something like that in your area? I mean, big time rock star agent.
Yeah. She turned out pretty good. I mean, she's done really good this last year. You know, a lot of the teams above her are essentially 3-4-5 man teams, but she's by herself and she's number 16 out of 700 plus agents.
Wow.
And still a mother of two, cranking
wow.
away. So
even more impressive.
She does it. My hat's off to her. But, That's essentially how we started, and that's, you know, been the road for the last 12 years, I guess. Just this 2016, yeah. So quick.
I'll say this: one thing you guys have done incredibly well is adapt to the market. Because you look at the last 10, 12 years, and in probably every couple of years, you're having to reinvent yourself almost, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, from doing short sales and short sales dried up, or doing loans, and then loans dried up, so you started doing loan modifications. And that was a big part of your business, wasn't it? The loan mod business?
It was, yeah, it was. It actually was a big part of the business because, a lot of people had the need for it, and unfortunately, the banks were really treating people unfairly. So, we stuck by them. We had a local office, so people could come into our office at any point in time, and make sure that we're legitimate, real people, attorney backed, and of course, we had our attorney's, reputation and license on the line. So we delivered our product, and at the end of the day, we serviced a lot of people. We figured we did something around 4 to 5,000 loan modifications, so it
No
was a
way. 4 to 5
significant
thousand?
number. Yeah, we ran a national commercial. We had lots of folks coming in, from all over the country. So we had a 20-person processing team, and we helped a lot of people. And of course, a lot of people couldn't be helped simply because they just overpurchased. They just overencumbered a property.
Right.
A lot of people, obviously, with 100% financing and so on, they just could not really meet the mortgage payment demands on a monthly basis. So they had to turn into short sales, unfortunately. But we tried to help them out as much as we can in that realm as well.
Well, that sort of
So.
became then a leader for you guys in terms of producing short sales. You guys are, looked at all these loan mods, and the ones that couldn't turn into loan mods, you just converted them to short sales and then had the opportunity to buy them yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's when we got into the real estate market at that point. So it's definitely been, a lot of learning through the process. And what's happened is essentially over the years we've learned, how loans originated, what that process is. So you're educated about that, what it takes to get a loan done, especially
Sure.
these days with TRID and so on, delaying closings and everything. So, and then the short sales were huge, and we rode that wave till probably last year. I mean, obviously there's still some around, but most banks have really keen systems for their evaluation models, and so the valuations come in pretty much at par. It's difficult to get any real deals these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are dried up as well.
Well, the banks wised up. I mean, they realize that if they're in a hot market, they're not gonna, sell themselves so short. They're gonna get top dollar. They're
Exactly.
probably making money on some of these short sales
I
trades
know.
at this point.
Yep, you bet.
Crazy. So question for you. I did not realize you were a chiropractor. You did that for a number of years. At what point did you say, I'm done being a chiropractor, I'm gonna pursue real estate full time?
It turned probably in about 05, and I was investing for a little bit over a year, and I just looked at the nuts and bolts of actually investing. And in my first run at it, man, I bought a Carlton Sheets program. I don't know if you remember
Nice.
that guy.
He was my
Yeah.
first one too, man.
Was he?
Bought him in a garage sale, like, and wore those CDs out.
All right.
It was the no money down program?
Is it the No Money Down program?
Heck
That's
yeah.
right. Right.
That's
So
awesome.
yeah, man. So I did that, and I also unfortunately got taken for some coaching for like $4,500,
Oh no.
and yeah, it wasn't the greatest coaching at that point in time, but nonetheless, what it taught me was like, look, you got to learn this from the ground up, and there was just a lot of moving parts to it, and there's so many different realms of it. As you know, like in CG, Collective Genius, we've got, guys from all over the country doing like 100 different models. Everyone's got their own little niche. So
Totally.
I was like, where do I fit into this? And so then I started going to meetings and the local RIAs and so on, and talking to people and just rubbing shoulders, and you get a lot from that, So I suggest anybody start there, to be honest with you. Even if you have nothing to sell or nothing to buy, you really just having conversations with people about what they're doing. It just opens your eyes to what's available and which part of this business that you really want to get into, So that's how I started. And I started reading book after book after book and trying to figure out, do I want to like be a buy and hold guy? Do I want to fix and flip stuff? What do I want to do? And that's where I landed into fix and flip, because I thought, hey, I like the design element of it. I like the construction portion of it. Creating something out of nothing was appealing to me, and that's when we started that trajectory.
Interesting. And so
Yeah.
was that a big deal? I'm assuming did you have your own practice, and you told some partners, "Hey guys, I'm gonna leave what I'm doing at the chiropractor office to pursue this full time."
That's it. Yeah, that's what happened. I had the partners, and I was like, this is just becoming more fun for me than anything else. Just the
Sure.
negotiation aspect of it, putting the deals together, finding the deals, and so on. It basically challenged me, and that's what I really enjoyed about it. And I guess, after 8 years, I just didn't have that challenge anymore with my practice.
Yeah.
So I was in multiple practices too, three practices at the time. So it was, slowly unwound those. And but I looked at real estate and thought, hey, look, the potential is huge here. Okay? And I figured that everybody that's ever been really, really wealthy ends up in real estate.
This
So
speaks
right,
truth.
I
Yeah,
mean,
you're
that's like
right.
the truth. If anyone's really, really wealthy, they end up being invested in one way, shape, or form in real estate, whether they own buildings or own rentals or whatever they do. But so that's where I figured, hey, I need to get into that. A, because it was fun for me, but B, because longevity wise, it was going to provide a lot of financial freedom for my soon to be family. So,
yeah. That's awesome. So you're, so over the next so many years, you kind of went through a couple of different iterations of generating loans and then modifying loans and then doing short sales. And now you guys are doing, you're really kind of the high end renovations and new construction. And then have what put together sort of this other new business model called PriceLift. I think it's just a phenomenal business model, especially in a highly competitive market like you guys are in. This is a niche that really not many other people are doing. So it sort of gives you that advantage. Talk to us for a second about what that looks like.
Sure, absolutely. You know, we figured in the last couple of years, and we've done this haphazardly with clients that we've known and so on, but we've really exploded the model in the last year or so. And what's happened is we felt that there's an awakening coming, right, with very little leads coming to market. Obviously, the short sales are drying up. REOs are few and far in between. You know, auctions difficult here as well because the market's just so hot. So with that said, you essentially have less and less low-hanging fruit. You know, and wholesalers are of course doing their thing and tying up properties, and it's just becoming difficult to find that lead that you're going to really do well on. So a lot of the lipstick jobs that we call them are pretty much gone from the market, right? Mm-hmm. So with that said, what we end up doing is doing a lot of square foot additions, and so building, and then that's basically pushed us in the direction of new construction, and essentially new construction where we, you know, keep a wall up and we just renovate the whole house. I mean, mm-hmm, realistically, right. Building a 4,000 square foot house, keeping one wall from the old house.
That's
up,
crazy, you know? That you have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it saves us some taxes, some school fees and so on and so forth. But anyway, with that said, we basically saw a need to try to find properties to renovate that we didn't have to actually buy the homes. And we figured, look, what better way than to create a win-win with the seller? Because what happens is in every one of these negotiations, unfortunately, you know, if you get a really, really good deal, a lot of times the seller is getting a little, you know, shorter than the sick, right? So they're leaving money on the table or whatnot. So with this model, what we end up doing is teaming up with the seller and saying, look, you've got a property that you're about to list. And 90% of the homes that they're listing right now, they need some type of renovation, whether it just be paint inside and outside, flooring, you know, new bathroom, new kitchens. I mean, which house doesn't need these things, right? Sure. So when they're going to go to list, instead of just listing as is and leaving a lot of money on the table, you know, why not let us come in and renovate the property for you? We'll bring in our expertise, our design team, our architects, our engineers, and we'll go ahead and put all our money on the line. We'll renovate the property from A to Z, and we're not going to get paid a dollar until the house sells.
That's
so
huge. For a homeowner that doesn't have the means to fix up their house to get top dollar, now you come in and say, look, I'll do all this for you, and I'll put up the money to do it. And then you share basically in the upside, right?
Right, exactly. And so there's a couple ways to skin that. Basically, when we're done, you know, we're of course making a profit on the construction portion, but no more than any other contractor is. And that's the funny thing, you know, it's contractors here in LA specifically, they, you know, they are charging a pretty penny for their work. You know, it's a funny thing I tell sellers a lot of times. I say, well, we'll put a bid together and then you get another bid from a contractor. And when he finishes giving you that bid, just ask him, okay, this is going to cost about $50,000. And would you mind paying for that and waiting till I sell the house?
Yeah. See how many of them say yes.
That's exactly what the reaction is that I get most of the time. They start laughing. So I said, so that's what we're doing. I mean, we're just basically doing the same thing as a contractor does with the construction, but we're not going to get paid until it sells. But the beauty of it is that we can actually participate in the equity that you're gaining with you. So you're not putting any of your money on the line and you don't have to do any of the work, but you're typically going to make somewhere between 25 and 50,000 more because of the price lifted new house. So that's our pitch. That's our angle. And it's truly a win-win-win because even the brokers love it because now they're selling a beautifully renovated property, you know, at top dollar. So they're getting a higher commission on the new sale amount, you know, plus their property's not going to sit on market for 60 to 90 days. They're going to have multiple offers. And they look like a star agent because they're selling renovated homes.
Absolutely. So. Now, so question, how are you targeting these people for price lift? Are they houses that are already in the market or are you going for off-market houses?
Typically what we do is, you know, we're targeting the same folks that the realtors are targeting, you know, so anybody that wants to sell. So with that said, of course, we're canvassing neighborhoods, you know, having farm areas and doing direct mail, Facebook and so on and so forth. But there are also other avenues like properties that have been listed on the MLS for, you know, 120 days plus.
Yep.
You know, and those guys are just sitting around doing nothing, because there's really two reasons why they're sitting around. Is one, because the price is too high, and two, because of the condition of the property.
Yeah.
So it's, or it's a combination of those. So with that said, you know, you can have a conversation with them and say, hey, you know what, we can renovate this for you and probably get the price you're looking for and then some, you know, if you let us do what we do. So
Now, do you have people in your office that are calling on listings, or how do you have that set up? Just curious.
absolutely, yeah, we have people that are calling on either expired listings or listings that are aged, and trying to touch base with them and having conversations with them about the price lift strategy.
I got you. And then do you have like a almost like a acquisition manager that's out in the field setting up appointments and then doing presentations?
Exactly, yeah. So typically we'll go out on appointments and we'll bring our book of business, what we've done. And it's great because we can actually walk into a house and say, look, here are the addresses of the houses that we've sold, and here they're all in the San Fernando Valley. And you can see, for instance, this one was this condition, and here's what it ended, and here's how long it was on the MLS. Typically, we sell our properties between 7 to 10 days. So our
Wow.
stuff does not sit on the MLS at all. And we have a really good strategy with our broker, Gina Michelle. So we basically list it low, which is essentially about 5% below market. And we get an auction type mentality going with everybody. There's usually only one open house, and it's only 2 hours in length instead of like multiple and hours long and so on. And we're inviting the whole neighborhood to come out and see what we've done to this house. So that one day, that 2 hour window, we typically have somewhere between, on the low end, 40 to 50 people, and the
No.
high end, upwards of 100.
Are you serious?
So
Holy
yeah,
cow.
I've had to hold the door because there's just too many people in a 1600 square foot house, you know, roaming around.
Wow.
So it's just, yeah, it's difficult. But what happens is typically that day you have the actual person that's going to buy that house in the room with 40 other people that are looking at that house. And so they're thinking, I better put my best foot forward on this thing or else it's going to be gone, you
Sure. Well,
know.
yeah, they
So
see the competition. And you always just basically immediately go to highest and best with everybody, just to give submit your highest offer and
yeah, we let them know that not everybody's going to get countered. So the list price is not a starting point. The list price is just a number. So that property could be listed for, you know, 500,000 or $5. And the reality is you got to check your comparables and give us a good offer, because we're listed below market. And you know, the smart agents know that. They look at it and they go, wait a second, this is listed for 500. We know it's worth 550. What are you guys doing? Well, well, you're smart, you know, tell your client that this is not going to go for 500, and to tell him to put his best foot forward in the beginning. So what we have is we eliminate the first round of, you know, counter back and forth, because what happens is we tell them we're only going to counter the first few that are in the running. So they come up with their best offer up front. And then when they do that, now we already know we don't have to push them again. We will push them one more time, but at least we know where they can come to right out the gate.
Well, so this is very similar to a strategy. And we actually interviewed Jordan Fisher a few months ago, and where he talked about selling with leverage. It's the same concept. Because even then, even after, you know, you've accepted an offer, you're still in the driver's seat when it comes to inspections and sort of dictating how the transaction's going to go.
Absolutely. Jordan's my man. You know, I got to give credit where credit's due. Jordan's given me a lot of tidbits on how to do this. So it's the power of the mastermind, you know. So Jordan and I are in another mastermind here in California.
How are you?
And yeah, absolutely. He shares a lot of great stuff with us. So Jordan's amazing. So thanks, Jordan. I
Shout out to
probably owe
Jordan
you
on
some
this one.
checks.
That's right, exactly. Well, it's funny, a lot of people have implemented a strategy, and it's very simple. It's just some simple concepts about, you know, creating a sense of scarcity and people competing, and then you as the seller being in the driver's seat throughout the remainder of the transaction, and not
Absolutely.
getting pushed around by a buyer's agent.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the key elements to take away from this is that you are selecting somebody not just because they're the highest and best. You know, you'd let them know you're selecting them because of the story behind them. So for instance, you know, family of four, this and that, they're, you know, the move up buyers and so on. You know, you let them know that the seller has a mutually, a mutual story with them and so on, and that's why you're selecting them, and that they were very, very close to the second and the third offers. So the reality
Interesting.
is, when you get into escrow, you know, don't be asking for all these credits and everything else, because
Yeah, right.
you know, we can go to the second and third, which is, they're just chomping at the bit to take this property down. So
Yeah, that's
it's all
good.
that positioning, you know, that this, oh, I wasn't selected because I was the highest. I'm selected because you know, they like my face.
You're
So
exact. That's the perfect word. You are completely positioning yourself for to get through the next, you know, 6 weeks of escrow.
Yeah.
That's killer. Yeah. That's a great strategy. One, so for you guys, I mean, obviously Gina's running a brokerage. You get 40 to 100 people in an open house. Surely that's creating some opportunity for her as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of folks, you know, are asking, well, when's the next property? Because they really like the design elements. You know, and Gina does a lot of the design for the properties. That's really the Gina Michelle project where it comes from. So she designs the homes, essentially all of the interiors, a lot of the staging. So you're looking at, I guess, you know, people like the designs, you know, they're really after the actual the design elements of the property. And so they really want to see another house come up in the area. And so they're almost on a list. Hey, when is the next one coming? Where is it? You know, can we take a look at it and so on? Can we get it before everybody else does? Sure. So we get that a lot of the times, which is nice.
So you're starting to create a list almost, a marketing list for your next projects. So you can blast it out to them before it goes on the open market.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People follow the website. And, you know, on the website, the GinaMichelleProject.com, you basically see a lot of before and after pictures, and you'll see essentially, you know, some of the designs that we've done and some of the new construction projects we've done. So we've done all sorts of stuff where, you know, you could do like a 1200 square foot house, you know, at only $400,000 to $500,000, upwards up to $2.5 million. So there's a whole gamut of properties there, and you know, no job's too small or too big. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah. You've obviously put together a pretty killer resume down there, which helps sell your services. Talk for a second about how you structure the deal with PriceLift. I'm just curious, you know, what are you with the homeowner? I mean, how do you talk about how much they're going to make versus how much you're going to make?
Well, there's a couple different options. And one is it's an all-encompassing fee. So let's just assume that the all-encompassing fee is, you know, $60,000. And of course, that includes the entire renovation that we've listed, as well as like staging, for instance. We'll throw in staging with that price. Basically, that's all we get. We just get that $60,000 figure. That thing is paid out first when the property sells. And of course, the property has a good amount of equity in it, or maybe there's a first lien that's, you know, just shy of that or whatever. And of course, the first thing gets paid out, but then we get paid out second. So that's one way to structure it. But again, with that scenario, what we're doing is leaving a lot of meat on the bone for the seller. So it only works if it's a win-win. So in that scenario, like I said, they're probably making somewhere between $25,000 to $30,000, upwards of $50,000, depending on the type of renovation that they're getting, and a bump in the price once the property comes to market. The other way to do it is we can let them know what our bare bones, you know, basically our overhead cost is to renovate this house. And if we do that, then instead of, let's say, $60,000, you know, maybe it's $35,000, maybe it's $40,000. And that's our cost to actually do this property. So what we'll do is we'll just do it for that figure, but the idea is that we'll split the upside with them 50-50. So with that said, what we do is we really eliminate all of the risk involved in the transaction. So we're saying that we're doing it for, you know, the rock bottom. This is our overhead cost. And if we do it for that, I mean, heck, if we only sell it for 10,000 over that number, we only make $5,000. Yeah. So, and they make $5,000, you know, which is fine, because they didn't really do anything to, you know, to risk much to get that, you know, but then we're really, you know, I'll give you some numbers. For instance, you know, we've got a project right now that we're working on, and the as is value is 500,000. The renovations are about 60, you know, so we're going to target a ARV of, let's say, 700 plus to, excuse me, 6 to 625 on this deal. So when all the dust settles, you know, they can easily make 35 to 40,000 on it. But what we can do is we can say, hey, you know what, our complete renovation budget is 40,000. So as is value of 500 plus the 40 gets us at 540. And we'll split everything that sells from 540 above. So if we sell for 600, we just split the 60,000, 30 to you, 30 to us, you know. So there's no real risk to the seller.
I imagine the tricky part there is getting them to agree on what the as is value is. So if you come up with 500, do you get much pushback on that?
Nailed it. Yes, sir. Yeah, that is tricky.
My house is worth more than $500.
Exactly. You know, you have some people that are the rational, and of course some people, you know, think that their property is like the White House, right? So it is what it is, you know. And if you can't come to an agreement, then you basically would just say, look, here's a number. We can just choose to do it at this number, and whatever you profit over above that, that's yours to keep.
Yeah.
You know?
So what do you pitch first? Do you pitch just a flat renovation fee, and then, or do you?
Yeah, it depends really. Yeah, it really depends on what the client, what their client is after, if they're really risk averse or not. And some people are really skeptical about the situation. So in that case, we say, look, we'll just do it this way. We will split the proceeds, and that way we're going to do all this work and spend, 6 weeks in your house, and we may not get anything at the very end, but we're so confident that your home is going to sell for so much more that not only are we putting our $35,000 to $40,000 and our time into this project, we're not going to get paid until the whole thing sells. We're going to risk all that, because we know it's going to sell for a lot more. So if you really think that this is a risky venture, we're going to share that risk with you, and you'll make something no matter what. You make something, so, but then we'll make more if the property sells for a lot higher, which typically it does, but it's of course, I mean, this as a pro. I mean, you have to convince someone that you do this a lot and you know the market and it's going to turn out this way. And of course, people are maybe selling their second house or their third house, ever. We do 10 times that in a year, so it's really difficult to have them understand that you are talking, from a standpoint of knowledge and so on. So
Do you have any sense of how many appointments you set up versus how many of these you're able to sell?
They're actually pretty good, to be honest with you. As far as knock down, I would say probably more than 50% of the ones that we actually get appointments with.
No way. Wow. That's awesome.
Would have to say that. And the only reason for that is because they're already going to sell, so they're already looking at that. And you're just telling the average homeowner that their house that they're going to sell for five or 550,000, they're going to make an additional $30,000 on. So that's not, small fries for most people, So,
So
and they're
it's a
gonna,
win-win. They got nothing to
it is,
lose, right? I
it
mean,
is. I really feel good about the model because ultimately they succeed, we succeed. And the things that people have issues with contractors are mostly three items. One is, of course, they never come in on budget, right? It's always more because everything changes, right? And construction is like that. A lot of things do change, but they never come in on budget. They never come in on time, right? And
You know all
and the
about
other
that.
issue, you flip a lot yourself. And the last thing is, of course, the final product is not usually what the homeowner intended it to be. Oh, I wish it was a little bit like this or like that, and quality and so on and so forth. So what we do is we eliminate those three pain points because we always want to come in on time. Because we're not going to get a dollar back until we sell this house, right? And we always are going to come in on budget because every additional money that we end up spending is going to, again, come out of our pocket. They're not writing us a check until later.
That's right.
So, and the last, of course, is quality because it really makes a difference on the inspections that the new buyer is performing. Because if it's not beautiful and clean and up to standards, then guess what? Probably not going to sell and stay on the market longer, and we're not going to get our money. So we really solve those three issues. And when you present it that way to a seller, they're like, wow, what's the catch? Give me the catch. What are you guys going to do? Are you guys doing something funny to my house? Like, what's going to happen? They just don't get it sometimes. And that's the hurdle that we have to get across is that trust factor.
How often is the seller in the property, living in the property while you guys are doing the renovations?
Quite a number of times.
So you're just sort of
Quite a
working
number of
around
times.
them.
Yeah, we've got a couple right now that it's exactly that situation, and we can just work around them. It's not too big of a deal because it's not major construction. It's all cosmetic. So flooring, flooring is going to take 2 days to do. You wouldn't have to tear it up and so on and so forth, but literally, it'll be 2 days, but we can move room by room and we move pretty quickly. Bathroom, obviously, just do one bathroom at a time so they have use of that. But a lot of other folks, what's happening is they're move-up buyers, and if they're lucky enough to be able to purchase another house while they still have this one, they can move into the next one and then we can renovate this one. So that's a good situation. But our third clientele is really investors. And investors are great because, they've got a rental property that's vacant and it's gained huge amounts of equity. But chances are that tenant that has been renting for the last 2 or 3 years didn't leave it in the best condition. Definitely not the best condition for resale, So that's perfect because a lot of out-of-state investors or out-of-area investors are perfect to target because they're looking at, this as a not a house, not really their home and so on. They're looking at it as an investment. So if you can help them squeeze an additional $20,000 out of it, kind of a
Absolutely.
win-win.
So,
So.
you know, I'm sure everybody that's listening to this is thinking, okay, that's great. You're putting up, let's say, $30,000 of your own money. How is that money secured? How do you know the seller is not going to just up and walk away with that money or refuse to sell the house?
Sure. Good question. You know, you're definitely leaning the property, yeah. Right? So your attorney, and depending on what state you're doing this in, of course, is going to be a monumental role in that, because they're going to put in a lot of factors in there, like a 6-month, you know, a balloon and so on, make sure that it's paid on time, and there's penalties and so forth to make sure that they do pay. And if they don't agree to it, you can also record, you know, something against the title, the actual contract against the title, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
That says you're going to sell the property, and here are the terms, here's the agreement, and it's put on basically for everyone to know, you know. And if you get into a lawsuit situation, you can definitely show the judge, hey, we all agreed to this, and here, it's on title. So, yeah. You know, and there's a couple other tricks. Unfortunately, I can't give away the farm in California.
The bottom line is you're going to create some sort of lien where it's recorded, you know, at the municipal level that, you know, you've got a vested interest in the property. And really, for anybody that's listening to this, it really depends on what state you're in and what your local codes look like, and talk to a local attorney. But at the end of the day, you're essentially leaning the property to protect your interest in the property, whatever money
Absolutely.
You put up.
Yeah. And I will say this. Think about trusts.
Well, that's another way to skin this is
you
to potentially put them in a trust or lien. Again, it just depends on what your attorney advises you. But you absolutely do want to secure. You don't go out there and just start spending money, you know, on somebody else's house without securing your interest in the property some way. Model, dude. I think it's such a winner in terms of, you know, making a win-win situation for people, and especially in a competitive market like yours, where there's a lot of people out there marketing for motivated sellers, and they're, you know, making ridiculously low offers and probably not getting much. This is a way where you're sort of marketing for that same seller, except now you're able to bring them something that makes so much more sense for them, rather than trying to sell it, you know, rock bottom pricing. They can get top pricing and split the upside with you. I mean, I love the model. I think it's killer.
Yeah, it's really beneficial for all parties. And, you know, if someone's trying to do this out of state, not in LA, of course, you know, I would check your sphere of influence, because a lot of folks that are in your sphere, you know, are probably going to end up selling their house sooner or later. And if you're a rehabber or looking to do that, then it's a great way to start that.
Yeah.
You know, and get into the business that way.
Yeah, do one or two with renovate. Some friends or some acquaintances and get the feel mm-hmm. for it.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
There. I love it, man. So, mm-hmm. Coco, you've been in the business now a number of years, and you guys have done a lot of different things in LA, in the Southern California market. Is there one deal that stands out to you as your best deal ever?
It does, yeah. It's a couple years ago, probably like 3 or 4 years ago, I would say. So, great opportunity that I picked up here in Hollywood, basically. And, you know, Hollywood as it was is obviously a great area. But beyond that, there is a lot, you know, where there's a lot of obstacles, then there's a lot of opportunity, right? So we had basically a mold house, you know, okay. So lots of mold.
Yep.
And, you know, to a short sale bank, mold is like the kiss of death, right? So they don't want anything to do with that for insurance reasons and health safety reasons and so on and so forth. They don't want to take that property back and remediate it and try to sell it. That's a big problem. So, you know, it was a great short sale that we were able to pick up. And not only did we pick it up low because it had a lot of mold in it, but we were able to reposition, you know, bedrooms and so on and add 500 square feet to it. And that's really when I started, you know, the square foot additions. And I was like, wait a second, this really makes a lot of sense, because we ended up basically selling that property somewhere around $600 a square foot, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, I mean, to other parts of the country, that makes, you know, just like crazy numbers, right? $600 a square foot. But I mean, look, in Northern California, people are selling at $1,000 a square foot or more, $1,500 a square foot. You know, it's nuts.
Crazy.
Silicon Valley, right? Of course.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But anyway, I mean, at $600 a square foot, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if you're building at $150 or $200 a square foot,
mm-hmm.
you know, the rest is gravy. You know, you're making $400 a square foot profit on a 500 square foot addition, that's $200,000, you know? So it's just a lot of money. And of course that's what it is. It's the obstacle is the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if you're able to learn how to do that and how to do it well and put the team in place to make sure that, you know, you have delays and so on with that process, then you can really come out on top. And we've been able to capitalize on that. And on that property itself, I mean, the spread was $250,000, you know?
Nice.
So it was a whopper. you know, and those don't come along all that often. Usually you have to build a house, you know, and it takes 9 months to do. But fortunately, this was pretty short period, and it turned out to be a really sweet deal. So I wish I could go back in time and duplicate
Oh, I know. Seriously.
that.
That's why they're the best deal ever, because they don't come around that
Yeah.
often, right? I mean, that's
Exactly.
funny because I the same thing. When I see mold, sometimes it's green for money because you know there's opportunity there. Nobody
Oh
else wants
man,
to
I'm
touch it. It's scaring everybody away. The bank's freaked out. And you can remediate it, so you pick it up and do the work. So in Southern California, what's the red tape like for doing additions and the permitting and all that? Is it pretty bad?
You know, there's different because of different cities that you have different what do you call it, municipalities to deal with. You know, in LA, it's not that bad. It depends on really what you're doing as far as the addition itself. You know, if it becomes complicated, then what happens is you have to go to a plan check, right? So the
Okay.
back room.
Yep.
So typically, you want to keep them under 500 square feet, and not if it's not something that's you know requires a lot of engineering and so on, then you're going to be you're probably possibly able to get that done over the counter, which is great. Because you're
Wow.
really in and out. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's like over the counter. It's kind of like a couple day process, or you know, obviously you got to draw things up and do some engineering before that. But I mean, it can really be like a 2 week process and you're done, which is great.
That's
So a
not
lot of
bad.
times we try to do that. Yeah, but with the other additions, like I've got one right now going on, which is just north of 500 square feet, and it's probably going to take us about 4 weeks to do, only because of different schedules with our engineer and our architect and so on. But then you'll go in and you'll get your first plan check appointment, and then your corrections are done pretty quickly as long as your architect's on top of them. But then you got to go back and you have to pay for expedited service, of course, because the city's going to charge you for that. But that's another way for them to rack up the fees. But then you'll get a next appointment within 2 weeks, you know, and so you could get literally everything done within a month if you push hard on something like that. But for new construction or major additions or renovations, you can get a 2 month time frame, you know,
That's
for
still not horrible, man. We've had worse than that in Atlanta.
yeah.
4 weeks isn't bad, and even 2 months for a brand new construction for all your permitting and whatnot, that and approvals, that's not that bad, honestly. Not as bad as I would have thought.
Yeah. So I guess it's not that bad. It depends
Interesting.
on where you are.
Yeah,
But the
yeah.
other cities, you know, we're dealing with another city right now, Sierra Madre, Pasadena, and those are, you know, historic cities, been around for a very long time. So what they do is they have a lot of different departments that you have to go through. So and a lot of committees, and so they're going to check everything. And of course, you've got oak trees around that property, especially in Pasadena. You got a lot of oak trees. You got to get an arborist involved,
Yeah,
right?
right.
So you got a civil engineer here, and you know, structural, and so on and so forth. And you know, there's a committee that's going to decide exactly what colors you can choose on the outside or not. You know, so it's like it's a lot of red tape. You know,
That's
if you
more
go
what
to
I
some of
picture. Yeah, is
those.
once you get arborists with tree prescriptions and all the craziness and color schemes and architectural committees and historical society, this and that, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you're stretching this out into months and months and months.
Yeah, you don't want to get involved in that.
No. That's not nearly as bad as I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, Coco, man, this is awesome. I love the price lift model. I think it's so relevant, especially right now in such a hot market. Is there a website? I know for both of your businesses, I know Gina Michelle's, and then also the price lift. There's a website where we could steer people to just to learn about you guys, and anything we can do to help you. What are you looking for from our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we're buying, you know, month by month, we're buying properties right now, and you know, we're always looking to work with other people as far as like JV relationships or even wholesalers, you know. So, you know, you bring a deal to us and we can JV with you. We can take a wholesale deal from you or what have you. Of course, the GinaMichelleProject.com sells a lot of real estate, and so she's basically been working with a lot of investors and developers over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. And you know, investors and developers need to sell their properties really, really quickly for top dollar. So, you know, any investors that are in the LA area, you know, we've got a rock solid proven method to sell property quickly, and we've done it again and again. A lot of times we offer staging to those investors for free as well.
Oh, cool.
So it's another little added, yeah, benefit. And she's got a really good eye for it. And if you go on the site, you'll be able to see a lot of the products that we've been able to move over the course of the years. And you know, for our website, it's called pricelift.com. It's PRICE and then lift, LIFT.com. And with Price Lift, essentially, you know, we'll again do JV relationships with people that bring us transactions to work on, you know, and it's a win-win for everybody. So we don't really take anything away from the seller, but you know, you've got a seller that you know, it's a cousin, a friend, a family member, a sphere of influence, whatever the case may be, you know, bring them to the table and we'll pitch the model. we've got a lot of you know, the back end in motion already. You know, we've got the crews, the construction, the architects, the engineers, and we can do a whole package and then incorporate you into that transaction. So it's really great for a JV relationship with somebody in the LAV area. Yeah.
So I'll put the two websites up in our show notes, the GinaMichelleProject.com and then also PriceLift.com. Coco, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. This was really, really good.
Thank you, Ken. Your show is awesome. I just want to give it up to you, man. You've been doing amazing, amazing work. I listen to your podcast all the time. So
I appreciate that, man.
Thank you so much. Genuine stuff. Really love it.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing you, man, in a couple months.
You bet.
All right,
sounds
buddy.
Good.
Take care.
All right. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a very special offer. I'm giving you an opportunity to work with my company, Georgia Residential Partners, and buy turnkey cash flowing properties in Atlanta for less than you've ever bought them at before. Where before we would sell properties that have already been fixed up with a markup in place, we're going to be selling properties at wholesale prices, the original wholesale prices. So instead of selling you a $70,000 house, we're going to sell you a $45,000 house. We're going to provide the hard money, the contractors, the tenant placement, the permanent financing, the insurance, everything you need to get into this house. And again, many of these properties are going to be sold $10,000 to $15,000 less than what you would have paid for them otherwise. That means you get to recognize equity right out of the gates and bring less money to the table on your permanent refi. If this is of interest to you, reach out to me at ken@gainvesting.com. Look forward to hearing from you.